We're going to read the whole psalm, and the entire psalm is going to be our text. We're going to look at the psalm as a whole. Let us hear the word of God. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thy word is truth, and thy word has power. It is the very breath from thy mouth. We pray that thou wilt use thy word tonight, even as it is brought through an earthen vessel. May thy power be brought to bear upon our hearts and lives as we attend now to the preaching of the gospel. Grant us the spirit of illumination that we may hear with an understanding ear and receive thy word by faith and be fed and have our faith strengthened and our hands strengthened to go forward in our life as pilgrims, serving thee and journeying onwards to thy house. Bless thy word to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, to appreciate fully Psalm 121, we need to understand something of what kind of psalm this is and how it was used by God's Old Testament people, Israel in the Old Testament. Perhaps you noticed that the heading of Psalm 121 is a song of degrees. This psalm is one of several psalms that are songs of ascents or degrees or literally steps. The songs of degrees are a section of the Psalter beginning at Psalm 120 and going through Psalm 134. And in the unfolding of Old Testament covenant history, these psalms came to have a particular use among God's people. They were used by Israelite pilgrims as they traveled to Jerusalem for the celebration of the main feasts of the Lord, Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, and Pentecost. These were psalms that the children of Israel would sing or rehearse or meditate upon while they were on pilgrimage. Let your mind go to the New Testament, to the end of Luke chapter 2, and you will remember that when Jesus was 12 years of age, his family and others from Nazareth made a journey to Jerusalem for the celebration of Passover. That was one such pilgrimage, and it is possible that Jesus and his earthly parents, as well as the other Nazarenes, could have sung this very song, or at least meditated upon it at some point during their journey to Jerusalem. Now, let's observe that there is a certain progression that we can see in Psalm 120, 121, and 122 that reflects this pilgrim journey. Psalm 120 has a setting that is far away from Jerusalem and far away from the house of God. For example, in verse 5 of Psalm 120, the psalmist says, I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar, regions remote from the land of Judah. And the psalm speaks of hostile people that the psalmist was among and faced. And then you get to Psalm 121, and there is a sense of growing nearness to the holy city, growing nearness to God's house, and yet there is still some distance. The psalmist lifts his eyes to the hills. There is some road yet to be traveled and dangers upon that road. And then Psalm 122, we have a psalm that celebrates the safe arrival of the pilgrim in Jerusalem, his going to the house of the Lord and worshiping there, the joy of being among God's people. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in the gates of Jerusalem. These were psalms that were used by the Old Testament church while on pilgrimage to the house of the Lord. And Psalm 121, then, was a psalm that was used, rehearsed, sung to encourage pilgrims on their journey because they needed protection on their journey. Second point by way of introduction is I want to highlight a couple of structural features and poetic devices that aid our understanding and appreciation of this psalm. Psalm 121 has 8 verses, and in the Hebrew we really have 4 stanzas made up of 2 verses apiece. And there is a beautiful interconnection between the 2 verses that make up each of the stanzas. There is a certain important word that links the 2 verses that make up each stanza. So, for example, in verses 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And now at the beginning of verse 2, you will see that word help picked up again. My help cometh from the Lord. And so there is this beautiful progression throughout the psalm, this linkage of these verses as thoughts are connected one to another. But the heart of the psalm is the opening phrase in verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. That's the heart. It literally is the heart of the psalm. In fact, there is one scholar who took the time to count all of the syllables of all of the Hebrew words before this phrase, and all of the syllables of all of the Hebrew words after this phrase, and it's exactly the same. 58 before, 58 after. The Lord is thy keeper. That's the heart of the psalm. And really, that's the one central message that this inspired psalm is meant to press upon our hearts. This truth that God is our keeper. And that truth is also pressed upon our hearts by the use of repetition. You'll notice that the word keep is repeated. It's repeated 3 times, and then in the later verses of the psalm, you have the word preserve, but in the Hebrew, it's the exact same word. So that keep appears in almost every verse. And the subject of that word keep is the Lord, Jehovah, our God, keeps His people. The Lord is thy keeper. That's our theme tonight. And we're going to unpack that main idea of the psalm under 3 points. First, we're going to look at the anxious question which begins the psalm. Then, the reassuring answer which comprises the body of the psalm. And then, the abiding peace that this psalm leaves us with, imparts to us. The first verse sets the scene for Psalm 121 and helps bring these words to life. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. You see immediately how these are the words of a pilgrim on a journey to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. The psalm is really full of imagery that harkens back to the road. The psalm speaks of the danger of your foot slipping. Speaks of the protection of shade, of being under sun, under moon, of going out, of coming in. This is a sojourner's song. The pilgrim is on the road, and as the pilgrim is getting nearer to Jerusalem, he lifts his eyes to the hills before him, quite literally so. You know from biblical geography that as you approached Jerusalem, you would enter the rocky hill country of Judea, and you would go up the mountain roads into the mountains where Jerusalem, the city of God, was situated. And so as the pilgrim, coming from whatever direction, approaches Jerusalem, that pilgrim will be lifting up his or her eyes to the hills before him. And as the pilgrim lifts his eyes to the hills, he says, "From whence cometh my help?" Now, here is one rare instance where our King James translation is somewhat misleading. The way it's translated in our King James, we have a statement, "From whence cometh my help?" period. But in the Hebrew, this is actually a question, and the Psalter number that we sang renders it accurately in the first stanza. "O whence shall come my aid?" A question. We have a question here as the pilgrim lifts his eyes to the hills before him. This is the question that arises in his heart and erupts from his lips. Where is my help going to come from? And what that indicates is that as the pilgrim looks upon these hills, he is impressed with a need that he has for help, for assistance, for protection. Now, to be sure, as the pilgrim looks upon the hills, his mind goes beyond what his eyes see to the city of God situated in the mountains. And often in the Bible, mountains are a picture of safety. You'll find that, for example, a couple of Psalms later, Psalm 125, in the opening verses where the psalmist says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth forevermore." Mountains signify strength and safety, yes, but the pilgrim isn't there yet. He lifts his eyes to the hills. In those mountains is the city of God. But between him and the house of the Lord is a winding mountain pathway. Between him and the city of the Lord is much rough, treacherous terrain that he must traverse. And thus there is a note of anxiousness, anxiety, fear in his question as he lifts his eyes to the hills. Where is my help going to come from? The help I need to traverse this treacherous terrain and reach my destination, the house of God in the holy city. There weren't any cars to take up the mountain, or planes to fly into Jerusalem in those days. You had to walk or take a mule up the mountain. It was dangerous. Loose rocks, sheer cliffs, wild animals. What other unseen dangers might be around the bend? Think of Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus spoke as if it was common knowledge that the road between Jericho and Jerusalem, that mountain road, was particularly dangerous because the rocks were ideal hiding places for robbers and bandits. There are dangers, many dangers on the road, and as the pilgrim continues his journey, he feels the need for help. Whence cometh my help? And so you can see why this psalm would have resonated so much with the Israelite pilgrim on pilgrimage. It spoke to his felt need at the moment as he traveled towards the house of the Lord. An anxious question. Now, we are far removed from the historical circumstances of the ancient Israelite pilgrims who sang or rehearsed this psalm on the way to Jerusalem. Nonetheless, we can identify with this pilgrim, can we not? And this psalm of degrees resonates with us just as much as it did with him. For we too are pilgrims journeying to the Lord's house. Not three times a year, That's your whole life. To be a Christian is to be a pilgrim. That's why the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 11, that Christians are pilgrims and strangers in the world. This is what we are. This world is not our home. The house of the Lord is our home. And this life is a journey there. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the life of the child of God was a spiritual pilgrimage. Think of Abraham, the father of all believers. As he's described in Hebrews 11, verse 9 of Hebrews 11 says, "By faith Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And later on in the chapter, it says, "Now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly." All of our forefathers in the faith were pilgrims and strangers here below. And the pilgrimage of the Israelite to Jerusalem, that was ultimately a picture pilgrimage, which has something to teach us about the real pilgrimage that is the life of the believer, the Christian life, the life of faith. We are in the midst of a dark, dangerous world on pilgrimage to the house of the Lord. And thus this psalm is our psalm. And the anxious question with which this psalm begins is our anxious question. How often does some form of this question arise in your heart? How often is some form of this question on your mind? As you lift up your eyes to the hills and see the rugged terrain that must be traversed between here and heaven, between here and the city of the Lord, as you look down life's pathway and see nothing because you can't see the future, and you wonder how many dangers lurk ahead, what hides in the rocks? What waits around the bend of my life's pathway or my family's life's pathway? Make it personal. What are you afraid of in this life? What troubles weigh you down, or the prospect of them sends your mind racing? Do you have adversaries that you feel you're powerless before? Do you fear something that may hurt you or hurt your family? Is there a burden that's dragging you down, pressing you down, and you fear you can't carry on? Does death frighten you? Is there a sin snare that's got its grip on you? Or has some sin blown up in your family and it seems like everything is in pieces? What frightens you? What burdens you? The anxious question: how am I going to get from here to there when there's all of this to get through? Like the Israelite pilgrim, we have to see we can't get there of our own or by our own strength. Without help, we won't make it. We won't see this journey through. We will not reach our destination. We will fall. We will go lost. We will perish. We will be crushed. We lift up our eyes to the hills. We say, "Whence cometh my help? I need it." And that gets us to the rest of the psalm. Because this psalm is given to us by God to be a reassuring answer to that question and every form of that question which arises in our hearts. Whatever we're facing, whatever we might face, and we say, "Where is my help going to come from? Because I need help." Here is God's answer. A reassuring answer. "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Simple, short, concise, beautiful, comforting statement of fact that is. My help cometh from the name, cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. As soon as the anxious question arises in the heart of the pilgrim, God sees to it that that question is given a reassuring answer that puts the fear of the pilgrim to rest. God is our help. You see, verse 2 points the pilgrim's eyes past the treacherous terrain between him and Jerusalem, past the hills, to the God who dwells in Mount Zion. The psalm tears the pilgrim's eyes off the dangers below and rivets the pilgrim's eyes on God alone. Who He is, what He does, what He has done, what He shall continue to do. He is your help. One of the many glories of Psalm 121 is that it is such a theocentric psalm, meaning it's a psalm that's focused all on God. You read through the psalm and almost every verb has God as the subject of it. It's about God and what He does to help His people. My help cometh from the Lord. The Lord. The Lord. No one else. Nowhere else. God alone is the only source of help and protection. And He's the only one that is the reliable and faithful source of protection. Don't trust in horses. Don't trust in chariots. Don't trust in men. Don't trust in politicians. Don't trust in your own arm of flesh. Don't trust in anything but the Lord, because help comes from Him alone. And everything else that says, I will help you, is a broken reed. A broken reed. When you put your weight on it, it will break on you and pierce your hand. The Lord. He's your help. And His sufficiency and His reliability to be your help comes out in His name, as is used here in the psalm. Lord, all caps, that is Jehovah, the eternal I am that I am, who doesn't change. Everything else in this world changes. Everything else can change on you. Something you thought was dependable, something you thought would be there for you, changes. It's gone. Never God. The changeless one who will never change on you. The I am that I am, faithful. When He says, I am your help comes from me. He keeps His word. You are helped. Who made heaven and earth? Often the Bible links help with the doctrine of God's creation. The fact that God is creator. For example, in Psalm 124, verse 8, we have the Bible verse with which every single one of our worship services begins. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Why link these two? Because it shows us God is almighty. He has the power to help, no matter what you need help from or in. He's the creator. What in the world can harm you if the very power that framed the worlds comes to your aid? What hardship or danger that you meet on the pilgrim path is beyond the help of the Creator of heaven and earth? This is the powerful reassurance to the pilgrim, not knowing what dangers are ahead on that winding mountain path. I don't need to know. I rest in this. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We fix our eyes on Him. But now to continue the line of thought of the psalm, what is this help that comes from the Lord? Can we give some concrete content to that word help? The answer to our anxious questions is that our help comes from the Lord, but what is that help? And the psalm defines help this way. The Lord is thy keeper. the Lord is thy keeper. Divine safekeeping and preservation is the help that Jehovah gives to his people. That heart of the psalm, the Lord is thy keeper, is an explanation of the word help. That theme word, that verb which is six times repeated, the Lord is thy keeper. And that word keeper is rich. It means much. It means watchman, guardian, caretaker, protector, preserver, one who keeps you safe and secure, who leads you, and as he leads you, doesn't let you come to destruction, who is ever watchful, and who ensures that you reach your destination safely. The Lord is thy keeper means he is your complete savior, who saves you, has saved you, and will keep you saved until he gets you home to his house. The Lord is thy keeper. Now think for a moment what those words would have meant to the Israelite pilgrim. The Israelite pilgrim, as he sang or rehearsed the psalm, would be thinking about the history of Jehovah's covenant faithfulness to his people. Abraham. How God was faithful and kept Abraham, kept Isaac, kept Jacob, kept Joseph even when he was sold into slavery in Egypt, kept Moses from the Ark of Bulrushes through the Red Sea all the way to Mount Nebo on the threshold of Canaan. Kept Joshua, kept the people, brought them into the land. How God kept Israel throughout the Exodus, through the wilderness, on and on. And how much more can we New Testament pilgrims add to the list? The Lord is our keeper. And he's proved it time and time and time again. And covenant history shows us he never changes. He never goes back on his word. He indeed is the I am that I am who keeps his people. Behold, verse 4 says, pay attention to this. There is nothing more comforting or reassuring than this. Behold, the Lord is thy keeper. So now we continue. We take another step following the line of thought in this psalm. An anxious question, which God answers with a reassuring answer. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And what is that help? The Lord is my keeper. But now the rest of the psalm gives content to that main idea. What does it mean that God is our keeper? That He keeps us? The rest of the psalm tells us, shows us. And so now we're going to walk through it verse by verse. This is what it means. And hear this word, believing people of God, personally. This is what it means to you when God says, I am your keeper. The rest of the psalm shows that God's safekeeping of His people is all-encompassing, all-embracing. It's now and forever. A circle of safekeeping is drawn around you. And absolutely everything about you is inside that circle. Nothing is missed. Nothing falls outside. Verse 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. That's what it means. The Lord keeps you. Surely that was reassuring to the Old Testament pilgrim traversing the mountain pathways towards Jerusalem. The Lord will keep you. He will not let your foot slip. Sure footing was very important. God would keep His people safe on the road, safe to journey's end. But how reassuring this word is for us spiritual pilgrims on our journey through this world towards the house of the Lord in heaven and ultimately the new creation. The Lord's promise to you people of God is, I will not let your foot slip. I give you the sure spiritual footing upon the rock that is Jesus Christ. I hold your soul in life and suffereth not your feet to be moved. How reassuring, because we need that spiritual sure footing. So much in this world conspires to make our feet slip and make us fall. Satan is throwing snares and dealing out stumbling blocks right and left in our path. There are so many slippery places. Sheer cliffs, so easy for us to stumble and fall. And we have our own sinful nature that wants to trip up, that finds the bait in Satan's trap so very attractive and wants to step into the jaws of that trap. We're so much like foolish sheep who wander right up to the cliff edge and with foolishness poke our heads over and then step one foot over. And before we know it, we're tumbling down the cliff of sin to our own hurt, to the hurt of others. Or we groan under the weight of affliction, so much so that we feel we're going to lose our footing underneath this affliction, and if we fall, there's no way we're getting back up. God's word to you is, I shall not let your foot slip. It would. You won't make it. But I'm there for you. I won't let your foot slip. And I'll make sure that you make it. It's the comfort we need when we're in one of those slippery places, or we're battling hard against temptation, or we're groaning under the burden, or we're facing one of those dangers we weren't expecting around the bend of life's pathway. Now, to be sure, at times we do slip, don't we? Oftentimes we stumble, even fall. And that's not due to a lack in God's safe keeping. That's our weakness. That's our sin. But even when we do slip, the Lord is our keeper, and He keeps His word. He is always there to catch us, always there to rescue us, always there to tend to His sheep with His rod and His staff, to tend our wounds. He keeps us. And there are some times that He lets us slip and fall because, like a father, He knows we need to have that stumble and we need a bit of a bruise and a scratch to learn a lesson. But then He's right there to pick us up, tend that wound, and heal and restore and ensure that the lesson is learned and we're better for it. He does not let our foot slip to destruction. The Lord is thy keeper. And the psalm goes on now in the rest of verse 3 and verse 4. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. As your keeper, God is your watchman. He is like the guard who keeps watch over you to protect you while you sleep. Psalm 127 speaks of the watchman of a city, something common in the psalmist's day. Every night there would be guards on the city walls keeping watch to make sure no enemy sneaks up and gets over the walls or gets into the city. Watchmen were very important to ward off danger, to ward off attack. How comforting to the pilgrim on the road where there might be bandits in the night when the pilgrim cannot see and when the pilgrim must sleep, that the Lord is thy keeper and He never slumbers, never sleeps, never gets drowsy. The idea is that there is never a moment when His attentive, protective watch over you is interrupted. Nothing slips past God. No evil can get past Him and get to you. There's never a lapse in His protective watch over you. God sees all. He knows all. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15, verse 3. And thus, these attributes of God, His omniscience, His everywhere presence, His omnipotence, these attributes are a surer protection than even the strongest mountain or wall. The Lord never slumbers. He never slumbers, if we can put it this way, in a human way. He never slumbers because His covenant faithfulness towards you keeps Him awake. He will never lapse in His attention, because such is His love and His grace to you, His people, as well as the fact that as the all-knowing God, the omnipotent One, He cannot sleep or have a lapse in His attention. Does that give rest to your soul? Let it, Christian pilgrim. This is part of the reassuring answer to your cry, "Where does my help come from?" It comes from the Lord, who is ever watchful. And so at the close of another day of pilgrimage here below, when your head hits the pillow tonight, and in the dark you cannot see, and you don't know what's going to happen tonight or tomorrow, you need not fear, because the Lord is your keeper. And He never slumbers or sleeps. He watches, He guards while you are asleep. He watches and He guards when you are in a night season of this life and you cannot see. And you don't know what to do. And you don't know what's next. And you're terrified. The Lord is thy keeper. And you are safe in His keeping. Verses 5 and 6. The psalmist goes on. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Here's another dimension of God's safekeeping. He's our shade. Picture now a great old tree with sprawling branches, a beautiful green canopy that provides shade, shelter, refreshment, protection from the intense Middle Eastern sun. A picture that would have resonated with the pilgrim on his way to Jerusalem under that hot sun throughout the day. The Lord is your shade. Your shade. The idea is that God keeps His people from harm and danger. He spreads Himself above them and around them to protect them from the heat. Isaiah 25 verse 4 calls God a shadow from heat. Think of the words of Psalm 91, which we sang earlier in the service. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What a beautiful idea that is. God keeps us. He protects us by being the shade that shelters us, that keeps the fire from us. He is the shade upon our right hand. And the idea here is He's not only a shade, but also a shield. It's a beautiful mixed figure. Shade upon thy right hand. And the right hand part is a military image. In the psalmist's day, soldiers often fought in ranks. And typically the soldier would hold his shield in his left hand and his weapon in his right hand. And that meant that you were somewhat exposed on your right side. And so you depended upon the man to your right to be the shade at your right hand, the shield who covers your vulnerable spot. And there's an added layer of meaning. God keeps us. He knows us. better than anyone else, better than we know ourselves. He knows precisely where we are vulnerable, and He is the shield over our vulnerable spots. He is our keeper, our perfect keeper. He's our shade and our shield, so that the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Literally, God as creator has power to protect from the sun's harmful rays as well as the cold dampness of night. But there's more to verse 6 than that. The idea is that God protects you from everything that happens under the sun and everything that goes on beneath the moon. Everything, daylight or during the dark of night. He never slumbers or sleeps. He keeps watch. He is protecting you day in and day out. Back to Psalm 91. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. All around protection. Under sun, under moon, day and night. And here's another Hebrew poetic device. Often in the Psalms, you'll see two opposites placed side by side, night, day. And the idea is everything in between. Night and day, everything in between. That is all the time. And so we're seeing how that circle of God's protection is expanding to encompass absolutely every part of our life. The Lord is thy keeper, not sometimes, but all the time. Day in, day out, under sun and under moon. And therefore, as verse 7 says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. All evil. Not most evil. All evil. Because He's almighty. He's the creator. He's all-knowing. He never slumbers or sleeps. He is able to keep you from all evil. Every form of evil. And the idea of this word is not just evil in the sense of moral evil, ethical evil, that's definitely part of it, but moral and ethical evil that causes you harm. And ultimately, all evil is harmful, injurious. It is an offense against the Most High Majesty of God, and evil and sin never prospers. All evil. The Lord keeps you from it. Everything that would hurt your body, everything that would hurt your soul. Now note, and understand that when the text says the Lord keeps you from all evil, that does not mean evil will never touch you. Think of David the psalmist. There's a man who knew the touch of evil. And yet David knew the truth of this text, that though evil may touch me at times, evil can never claim me, evil can never destroy me, evil can never injure me such that I am beyond the healing and the restoration and the salvation of God. Though evil may touch me, it only ever touches me when God, my heavenly Father, in His sovereignty, lets it. Even when there is that touch and it's painful, or it draws tears from my eyes, it is under the sovereign control of God who either averts all evil from me, or when it touches me because God is busy turning it to my profit. It's one of those two things. And that's our confidence, that's our comfort, beloved. The Lord is our keeper. He preserves you from all evil. Evil, sin, the devil, the world, affliction, none of it can destroy you. It's impossible. God Himself declares it. This psalm is the doctrine of the preservation of the saints. If there is no other passage in the whole Bible, we could safely build that doctrine on this psalm alone, indeed on the heart of this psalm alone. The Lord is thy keeper. He keeps you. He keeps your soul. And there, the word soul in the text isn't just talking about that spiritual part of who you are, but it's the same word that we find in Genesis 2, where God made man a living soul. The idea is your whole being, your whole life, all that you are. And so the circle has expanded again. God keeps us day and night throughout all time. He keeps us from all evil. And He keeps all that you are. He doesn't surrender even a particle of your being to the devil or to sin or to evil. He's redeemed you body and soul by the precious blood of Christ, and He keeps you body and soul. All that you are belongs to Him. And when He says, "I am your keeper," He pledges Himself and He promises to keep all that you are. Not a part of you will perish or go lost. And so we come to the climactic concluding verse, verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What a conclusion. What a glorious final expression of what it means that the Lord is your keeper. And the circle has expanded to its widest. The Lord keeps you at all times. He keeps you from all evil. He keeps your whole being. And now verse 8 says, He keeps you in all places and in all activities, in your going out, in your coming in. Every part of the pilgrim path, He is with you, keeping you, watching you. Every bend of life's pathway, every treacherous part of that rugged road, He keeps you. You're going out, you're coming in. Wherever you go, now, and then the last words of the psalm trail off into eternity. Now and forevermore. You see, His keeping is a powerful preserving. It's a saving keeping that not only wards off evil, but accomplishes our eternal salvation, brings us down that path, gets us to the destination. That the Lord is our keeper means He takes us and He brings us to heaven by the powerful saving grace of Jesus Christ. Now and forever. So when you wake up tomorrow, you go off to your labor, and when you retire again in the evening, the Lord is your keeper. When you go out in your youth, in the springtime of life, there are many dangers, many temptations. In the days of our youth, the Lord is your keeper. When you come in the twilight years of life, and perhaps you can't go out anymore because the flesh is weak and you're stuck inside, the Lord is your keeper. At the desk, at the construction site, at school, in the car, on the bus, on the plane, in the store, at home, in the hospital, on the operating table, the Lord is thy keeper. At the graveside, staring into the pit, looking at that wooden box containing one that I love so dearly, the Lord is my keeper. And the Lord is the keeper of that believing loved one whose body is in the box. The Lord is the keeper of his or her soul, which is with Him in glory, and the Lord is the keeper of that body. And though it turns to dust, it turns to dust in God's hands, waiting for the day that God will raise it again. The Lord is your keeper now and forevermore. When you come around that unexpected bend of life's pathway, and it's the end, you weren't anticipating it. And now you're on your deathbed. The Lord is your keeper. Do not be afraid. He keeps you in your going out and in this, your last coming in. The last coming in where at last you come into the house of God, the destination of your pilgrimage. No matter how rocky the road, no matter how dangerous the road, no matter what waits around the bend of life's pathway, nothing can take away the comfort of this truth. The Lord is your keeper. And the bedrock certainty, the truth of this text, is Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, who purchased you body and soul with His precious blood. And because He's redeemed you, God is your keeper, and He'll never let you go. The heart of the psalm is that phrase in verse 5, "The Lord is thy keeper." But the heart of the heart of the psalm is Jesus. That word Lord, Jehovah, wherever that appears, Jesus is there. Because Jesus is Jehovah's salvation. There's the heart of this psalm. Jesus, Jehovah's salvation, is your Redeemer and your Keeper. Lift your eyes to Calvary's hill. Thence cometh your help. The Lord, who rather than give you over to the destruction you and I well deserve for our sins, the Lord who came down from heaven and took upon Himself our flesh and took responsibility for our sins and went up Calvary's hill and there suffered and died to redeem you. Thence, from there comes your help. That's why the Lord is your keeper. That's why His keeping will never fail. So when you lift up your eyes and you feel afraid and the anxious question arises in your heart, turn the eyes of your faith to Calvary's hill and see the Christ who died for you. Fix your eyes on the rock of ages cleft for you. On Him, the rock, your foot shall not be moved. His love and His care never slumbers or sleeps. Jesus is the shade at your right hand, your shelter from the heat of God's holy wrath. He is your Passover. Because of Jesus, the sun cannot smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Jesus has delivered you from the clutches of all evil. Jesus has delivered you from your sins too. He has redeemed your life from destruction. And He will crown you with glory and honor on His day. Jesus is Redeemer. Therefore, the Lord is thy keeper. So, pilgrim people, we have an abiding peace, which is our takeaway from this psalm. Abiding peace for daily life. Abiding peace for the next leg of the journey. That's what the psalm was used by God to give to the Israelite pilgrim in the Old Testament. That's what it pressed upon his or her heart. It was a peace-giving psalm. As the pilgrim rehearsed these words, perhaps sang these words, the Spirit-wrought effect upon his soul was peace, a calming of fear, an answering of that anxious question with reassurance and confidence in God. God's sure promise in this psalm is the answer to every pilgrim's anxious questions. to Psalm that says, I've redeemed you. I am keeping you now through everything and into eternity future. So, beloved, wherever you are on the road, whatever you are going through, whatever fears make your heart race, whatever pains disquiet your mind, this is God's word for you. This is the song of your pilgrimage. The Lord is your keeper. Rest in Him. This is your abiding peace, even in the midst of the storms, even in the night seasons. What anxiety can stand up to this psalm and its reassuring promises? Fears melt away in the warm light of the gospel of Christ, given us here in this psalm. The Lord is your keeper. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. This psalm stays, fixes our mind on our God. Take this psalm with you. Tomorrow, the week ahead, hide this word of God in your heart. Bring it out. Rehearse it. Sing it even when you face adversity or face temptation or face danger in your pilgrim path. Let your mind be stayed on your God. He will keep you in that peace. The Lord is your keeper. So shall you go forth and come in peace forevermore. Amen. Faithful God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the comfort of this psalm. Hide this word in our hearts. Etch it into our minds. And may it be a song of our pilgrimage, which is a continual source of encouragement, comfort, and peace. Strengthen us to trust in Thee, the God who keeps us, and the God who will be with us until Thou dost bring us at last into Thy house. All this for Jesus' sake and in His name. Amen.